It's good to be together today on this New Year's Day. Did you notice that Christmas and then January 1st and then today all fell on a Sunday? I don't know how often that happens in like, but we kind of witnessed something special. You know, it seems like we're at a special time, and actually that's true, isn't it? Don't you think we do? I mean, if we don't think that way, then there's something wrong, because really God has given us each day and each part of our lives as a purpose of teaching us something wonderful and making us a part of something wonderful. And we have each other here in this church. We have a wonderful fellowship. We were hearing this past week that that Paul was given the right hand of fellowship by the disciples, you know, the ones who actually saw him as more of a threat at one time because he was killing people that believed in Jesus. And then he came to faith and they reached out and they gave him the right hand of fellowship and welcomed him in, you know. And I was thinking that we really want to remember that kind of a thing, because that verse only comes in one place in Galatians in all the Bible. But it's a very special one. And so when we reach out our hand to one another in fellowship, then it really is according to God's will. And that's what we want to do. We want to welcome people. We want to welcome one another and really celebrate what we have been given here. And I hope that God will really help us to see that more and more this year, and fellowship will develop in a deeper sense for us, and that we'll be able to reach out our hand in fellowship and unity and just see all the blessings that God wants to give to us that way. I am truly happy to be the pastor of this church and to see you all here and those who are watching at home, and to know that God has gathered us here for a purpose today. Sometimes life throws a curveball at us. You know, something happens that when we least expect it, and we're thinking, okay, how are we supposed to deal with this? And as many of you probably already have heard, last night there was a terrible occurrence in Monterey Park in California, where a number of people, I think it were 10 people, were killed again by a shooter in a celebration there. And it was an Asian community celebrating the New Year. And not only that, but there were many others who were injured as well. That weighs on our hearts, doesn't it? You know, we're really eager, and we should be happy. We're experiencing something, a good time now. And also we need to recognize that there is darkness in this world. And that is exactly what the Word of God does for us today. Right? It wouldn't be right for us to ignore that and just go on with life. God calls us into situations as his disciples to address these things in the world and to be that light for people that are going through great darkness. Amen? So we want to approach our lives as Christians who experience joy and that sing songs of joy, and we have that faith and those kind of things. But we also want to recognize that we have a purpose as that light in this world to extend it to people that are in need. And I hope that we can, you know, pray for the people in Monterey Park. And we'll do that in just a second. But I just want to mention something else that came into my mind when I saw that. And it was a recollection of an article that I read in the New York Times recently about Michelle Goh. Now, I think you probably know her. She's the one that was pushed onto a subway track here in New York, and she lost her life. And that was in January of 22. Okay, so it's a year ago. And her father wrote an article reflecting on that and gave it to the New York Times, and they published it. And I just want to let you know a little bit of what he was going through, because I think, you know, it's hard for us to relate to people that go through those kind of things and to know what to think. But we have some better understanding when we hear directly from the source of the family members and what they're going through. And I think that what he had to say was very valuable. And so I just want to share with you a little bit of what he said. I can find it here. I am Michelle Goh's father. I am marking her death where she lived, is the name of the article. And he came to New York City. They didn't live in New York City, but his daughter Michelle lived here in New York City. And basically, in a nutshell, what he was saying was that it's taken him a year to even approach this subject of losing his daughter like this. And he said, but it's time, I really want to say something. And so he came to New York to see where she lived. And he said she loved New York. She loved being in New York City. That's why she lived there. She loved, you know, going to work on the subway. She was not afraid. She dove into the whole New York life and she lived it and she enjoyed being there. But one of the things that I think that helped me in reading this article was to hear that he was saying that for them, you know, they heard a lot of people talking about her in a way that was much different than the way that he knew her, right? They, in a sense, she was being used as this icon, right, to address the problem going on in the political world and things like that. And he said, basically, that was my daughter. And I would prefer right now to share with you her life and what she stood for and the wonderful things that she did, you know, and all that gets kind of lost in the fray of these different kind of things. And so he went on to say that she would like us to look at things in a different way than we're looking at them, perhaps, and not attacking back. But actually, I'll just read you a few words of what he said. Michelle's death was a call to action for many, including those who see the crime. Marshall Simon, he was the one who pushed her on the tracks, committed as an example of ongoing anti-Asian hate. The grief from our loss engulfs the indignities of past discrimination we've encountered. We do not have all the answers, and we may never know whether her death was motivated by racial animus. Legally, this may not matter, given that her attacker has been found mentally unfit to stand trial, but the uncertainty over Marshall Simon's mental state and the necessary but prolonged legal process only heighten our pain. As her parents, we know that no family should ever lose a child in this way, nor suffer the endless anger, grief, despair, and now numbness that we have felt and continue to feel 1 year later. And he goes on from there to talk about other things. But I want to just read what he said at the very, very ending of this article. You can read it sometime if you have time. Real change comes with meaningful preventive measures. This requires, among other things, adequate and continued funding for housing, treatment, and other programs. We need to begin working on those solutions now, urgently, together as a community. And we need to have true resolve and continued commitment so that we can honor the spirit of Michelle's life. So these are some words from a father who lost his daughter in that way. And he came to New York recently and wanted to be involved, and he wanted to come into the place that his daughter loved and help it in some way. And so I thought it might help us today to hear those kind of words as we approach God's word and we think about the things that we would like to do also. You know, and that kind of fits in with what I was saying. You know, when we hear about problems that face us, then we could either look the other way, or we could pretend, or we could be afraid, or we could turn to God and ask God to help us to see if we could not make a difference in this world to help a sick and dark world. And this scripture talked about the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And so what that does, it gives us a very good vision of what the world is like. It's darkness, right? It's darkness. There are things that occur that are dark. But the people that Isaiah was talking about saw a great light, right? And that instills hope. That instills and lets people know that there is a light, right? We are going to lose people, right? People are going to die. There are things that are going to happen in this world because of that darkness. But God sent his light into the world to conquer that darkness and to bring his light and love into it. These are not easy things for us to talk about. These are not easy things to think about, but I believe that if we don't grapple with them, then we are misunderstanding God's word. We need to be engaged in it. We need to have a part in it. We need to look at it, and we need to, you know, like this past week, I was wrestling with God. I wouldn't say I was angry at him. I just felt like he was telling me what to do. And as soon as I understood that and let go of my will, I felt an immense amount of light. And it changed my attitude. That's one of the things that I think that God is trying to do in our lives, right? Is to get us to slow down and maybe take, like the Michelle goes father and think about what a person is going through in their life. Right. And not just make it an opportunity for us to, do other things. Maybe take a hard look at ourselves and a hard look at our society and think, yeah, actually Jesus is what we need. And how can I be a part of that? You know, and that brings us into the scripture today later on that goes into Jesus coming to the disciples, and he came in as the answer. I am that light that the people in the darkness were walking and saw. I am that light, and here I am. He came into their world. He came into our world, onto earth, and he went to people and called them to come and follow him. Right. And so that is connected to what the children's lesson was about. That story actually came a little bit later in the story. This one precedes it. But he is calling us to come, follow him, and he would make us fishers of men. Right. So we want to take a look at this together as we get into the word. But I'd like, first of all, for us to have a moment of silence and to pray for the people who have lost loved ones in California last night. Let's take a moment and pray. Amen. This past week, I felt I was evaluating my quiet time, and I found that it was lacking. I found that I was praying, and I was praying over a list of people in the church directory, and I think that that's good, and I still think it's good. But God was telling me to slow down and not to try to do so much at one time. And to draw me into a time and also being quiet and listening. And so I set my timer on my cell phone, which is a very good thing to have a cell phone for. I set a timer for 5 minutes, and I sat there for 5 minutes, and I was just quiet. And it didn't go well because my mind was all over the place, right? It didn't go well, but I felt like I was answering the call to come. Okay. It didn't mean that I did it perfectly. It didn't mean that I was able to listen and that everything was great. It means that I was told to be still and be silent for 5 minutes. And so I set that thing. And after it was over, I immediately wanted to say, well, that was a waste of time because I was all over the place. But God was saying to me, no, you're missing the point. What I want you to do is I want you to obey what I told you to do. I didn't tell you that you're going to suddenly have all these things go right in that time, but you have to start somewhere. And I started reading through a book that I hadn't read through for a long time, and these messages were coming over and over again from people telling me the same thing. It was wonderful. I felt like, wow, somebody is talking to me. God is talking to me, you know, and he's setting me right. And I've been all over the place, and he's trying to get me back to where I need to be. Wow, what a great God, you know. And all the pressure was gone because I mean, it's not like I want to always feel like I'm not doing it right. I want it to go well, and I want to be able to listen more, and I think that will happen, but you can't do it all at one time. But it begins when you answer the call to come. Come to me, right? And that's the part that we sometimes struggle with. Do you remember Jonah? I was thinking of a scenario, kind of a conversation that would be happening to Jonah as he's like standing, waiting for the boat to take him in the opposite direction of where he's supposed to go. And he's standing there, and a guy comes up and he goes, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "I'm okay." And actually not really, but... And then the guy kind of digs a little bit and goes, "Where are you headed?" And he goes, "I'm not really sure." And he's trying to get away from the guy, and so he doesn't have to answer any more questions. And the guy says, "What's your name?" And he says, "My name is Jonah." And then the guy introduces himself, and they're standing there a little bit longer. And he said, "Where are you from, Jonah?" He said, "Well, I'm over there, you know," and he tells him where he's from. And then the guy says, "Oh, I see. Well, I'm from this area." And they make some small talk. And then Jonah says, "Well, I really got to go. I got to go. I'm sorry. I can't keep talking." He goes, "Why?" He goes, "Well, to be honest with you, he's following me." And the guy says, "Who is following you?" And he says, "Well, it's the Lord. And he's coming, so I really got to go." And he goes. Right? And so we have this feeling like when we hear God's voice and we don't do it, we know in our mind that there's something that God wants for us to do, and then we don't do it, and so we're going away. And we know he's coming, and we know he's there, and we know that it's the thing we're supposed to be doing, and we don't do it. And I think that that describes a lot of times in our lives as Christians. Never mind people that are trying to avoid God coming and saving them from their sins. But they're saying, "He's coming. I got to get away." Right? And we know what happened in that story. But he didn't like what God told him to do, so he left. He ran. And he was filled with hatred. He was a racist. He was filled with hatred towards the Ninevites. But God forbid I would ever have to go and talk to those people. Right? So that's one example of the Bible telling us things like that, right? But what happens here is also very telling in our daily lives as Christians. And I think that this is part, if you'd be patient with me today, I'm still kind of upset about what happened last night, and I am a little bit over here and there, but I do know what I have to say. When they heard that they were to come, he said, "Follow me." He said, "Put down your nets and then follow me." And it says that they laid everything aside, and they went and followed Jesus. Right. So a lot of times what happens with us, we know that we are supposed to give everything, but the problem is we forget that we have to begin somewhere. And so I heard some very good advice this week, and I want to share that with you. There's one thing, probably one thing, that we know that God has been telling us that he wants us to do. And that is the place to begin. That's the everything right there. There's a lot of different things, and there's a lot of different things we need to leave behind, but choose one and listen to that, right? For me this week, it was setting a timer for 5 minutes to listen to God, even though I didn't. Do you hear me? I didn't do it, but I had to set the timer and sit there and be silent. And I trust God. I trust that He's going to help me to do that now. But it took a long time for me to get to that place. So today, in this new year, listen to the voice of God and what He's saying for you to do, and do that. That is a sign of obedience. That is come. Come, okay, I will. And what did Jesus, what did Peter do? He walked on water. He walked on water. He walked on water. Right? That's not just for us to go, wow, Peter walked on water. You're supposed to say, wow, God wants me to walk on water. All you got to do is come to Him when He tells me to do it. What is God calling you to do? One thing. Don't think about all of those. Choose the one that first comes to your mind and obey Him. Right? That's a great way to begin the road to victory. Amen? Happiness. Prosperity. Right? All the things that we hear at New Year that are good and great, and they begin the moment a person says, I hear the voice of Jesus, and He said, come, and I'm going. That is a wise way to begin the new year. Right? Isn't it amazing what God? And don't forget what Jesus said to the disciples. Don't be afraid. There's a guy named Henry Nguyen, who I've also been reading recently, and it's a very interesting thing, but he said, I think the biggest problem that people have when they pray or to pray, you know what it is? Fear. That's an interesting comment, isn't it? That people are afraid to pray. Why? Lee John and I were thinking about it yesterday driving in the car. Why would we be afraid? You know, why would he say that prayer, you know, fear is one of the biggest problems for us to pray. Well, maybe it's because we are so used to doing everything ourselves, right? That, you know, the thought that we would ever have someone tell us something to do is just terrifying. I've got so many. What do you mean? I have a lot of things to take care of here. People are pinging me all over the place. I'm getting prayer requests left and right. I've got a phone call. I was sitting here in the front and somebody called me and said something to me. I was like, I'm in worship. And I didn't, you know, it's like all over the place. I've got people. I've got things to do, Lord. Don't you understand? I've got places to go. I got people to see. I've got family members that got to be picked up at school. I've got to do all these different things. I've got millions of things to do. Don't you understand? I don't have time to pray. Right? But the best thing we can do this new year is to find the time and say, when you hear that voice, not to say, you know, I'm going to defeat myself again this year and I'm just going to ignore God. It's just like what Jonah was doing. He knew exactly where he needed to be. He knew exactly what was going on. There were probably people talking to him along the way and saying, where are you going? Who are you? And he's like this. And he's like, oh, the Lord is following me. I disobeyed him. He told me to go there and I'm going this way. Right? But that's what we do. It's not just Jonah, and it's not just Peter. It's not these people that we read about in some fairy tale book. It's the real deal. It's the life that we live, right? And so what is the purpose? What's the purpose of coming and following Jesus, right? Before we go there, I want to give you some advice that I also read this week from a monk. When he was referring to the story of Jesus and the disciples, and Jesus was walking on the water, he said, when we are living our lives, first of all, don't be afraid. Call out to Jesus, just like Peter did. Command me to come to you on the water. Call out to Jesus. Okay? And then this next part is crucial. Listen for his command to come. Listen for his command to come. And he said, in that time, when you don't hear Jesus saying, I want you to come now and do this, it's not like just because we call out to Jesus and say come, that he's going to, in that instant, going to always do that. But he said, if you don't hear something right away, then that time is to be spent in prayer and meditation. And so in that stillness, let's say that you set aside 5 minutes to pray and you're listening for the call of Jesus. If he doesn't tell you something, then continue to pray. Wait for him to call upon you. And then when he calls, when that time comes, go out on the water. Step out on the water. So call to Jesus, right? Listen for the command to come. If it doesn't come, continue to pray until it does, and it will. And then when it comes, walk on the water and keep your eyes fixed on him. So this coming to Jesus is so important. And then we follow him, right? Following Jesus takes a lot. Remember the story. These stories are all through our Bibles, right? They all come to mind. The rich young man comes to Jesus, said, I've been doing all the laws. I've been doing everything by the book, you know. Jesus says to him, good. That's great that you're doing all those things. Now go and sell all your possessions and all of it and give it to the poor and follow me. And the man walks away, just like Jonah. Walking away, sad, because he heard something he didn't want. Right. So these stories are here and built into this. And he said, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Leave this behind and come and follow me. And so this is where God is bringing us in. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we're being taken from a place where we're scattered and we know we've been scattered and we've been going in different directions we shouldn't be going in, and we know what's right and God has been telling us that, but we've been putting him off. But now he's saying, I'm still here and this is wonderful for you and this is what I want for you. And so all you need to do is just say, I got it. I'm here. I'm going to walk on the water. I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm going to put my life in that kind of a position now, right? Following Jesus. What are we following in our lives now, right? What are we following in our lives? What is God talking to us about? What is it that we are doing? And he's saying, come to me. Come from there, where you are there, and come to me. And then the most amazing thing is, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. He doesn't say, come and follow me, and you're a fisher of men. He says, I will make you fishers of men. I will teach you. I will teach you the things that people need to hear when they've lost people that were killed. I will teach you about going into situations where people are dying because of their sins. I will teach you to come into the hearts of people that are lost in this world and feel that there's no hope. I will teach you by using your gifts at cooking or whatever it is that you're good at to come in and to bring some source of comfort and love so that they know I exist. I will teach you all of these things. And so the followers of Jesus to be made into fishers of men means that he is teaching us what it means to be a person, a person who loves other people, a person who is here on this earth with an association for other human beings, that we don't look the other way when there's hardship and when there's mourning and when there's such distress and hatred, that we don't turn away from those things, but that we follow Jesus. We've been hearing this in the Sunday school last year, right? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would get involved with people's lives and show them that he loves them. And that's what we do. We're equipped with love that comes, and we have to believe that. We have to believe that when we follow Jesus, then we are following the one who can truly teach us the things that are better than anything else in the world, right? So God wants us to remember these things and to think about these things. What does it mean to be a fisher of men? It doesn't mean you just throw something out there and say, here's the gospel, okay? Good luck there. It means that you come and you go out and you bring a net that Jesus gives to us, and we gather them in to his love, into his kingdom, into his world, into his life, into his light, into the things that he desires to give them. And the wonderful thing is that then they also are equipped with in their lives to see that their life is to be helping other people too. Right? We don't know all the things that we need to know when we think about it now, but we are being told in the scripture to come. And that's where it begins, to come to Jesus, right? Set our eyes upon Jesus. Use our gifts and music for Jesus, right? At the beginning of this whole section, it says that Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is also a message that we need to take to heart. We need to look within ourselves and think, am I doing something that is not right with God? Right? Am I doing something that needs to be confessed? Am I doing something that is interrupting the life and the peace and the goodness that God wants me to have and also to give? You know, those kind of things. It can be scary, right? But Jesus tells us not to be afraid. So we need to believe him when he says that, you know? And I really believe that God is drawing us into this for a purpose in our church too, so that we can grow, right? So we can grow in fellowship, so that we can grow in our walk with Christ, so that we can grow in the kingdom. And these are the things we focus on, right? By teaching one another what God is doing in our lives, by sharing the things that we're going through with one another and not being ashamed of those things, because we know that by sharing our lives with other people and telling them honestly who we are, then they will trust us more and we will feel like we can trust one another more. Isn't that true? And there's people there in our lives we can do that with, and there's others that we're a little bit afraid of doing that with, but we have a great God who helps us along that way, and that's being a fisher of men, right? Coming and putting your arms around someone is being a fisher of men. Someone who reaches out and says, you know, I've noticed that you seem not to be yourself. It seems like there's something weighing on your mind. Is there anything you'd like to talk about? How are you doing? I mean, just that word, ni hao ma, you know, just like, how are you doing? That is, there's so many people that need to have that question asked to them. How are you doing? And it's amazing what can happen after you do something like that. But that's really what God helps us to do, you know, to have those moments where we know that this is needed, this is necessary. And that's the beautiful thing, you know. It's so simple. And so let's take it to heart today, what God has said to us in his word, to come and follow me, and then I will make you fishers of men. Where are you in that, right? Where are you in that? Is God speaking to your heart? Obey his voice. Walk on the water. Walk toward him. Explore the greatness of the kingdom of God that he's giving to us. And let's reach out to people in this world that need to hear the good news. Amen. Let's sing a song together to reflect on sharing what we know and what we understand today as being the good news. It's a hymn called Christ for the World We Sing. And it's in our hymn books. It's number 68. So if you can please open your hymnals to hymn 68. And we're going to be singing a different melody than the one in the book. Okay, so it's a little bit different. So just listen to the melody that Lee Chan plays on the piano and I'll sing. And I think you probably know this melody anyway. But we'll sing all four verses. And those at home, I sent out the music with the melody and the words for you to open up on your email. Okay, let's stand and sing Christ for the World We Sing.